From China to Germany to the U.S., the global economy is rapidly slowing down. In today's show, you'll learn why. A global recession is imminent. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. As the withdrawal of fiscal stimulus and now the removal of monetary stimulus as central bankers chase inflation has increased the odds a global recession is coming. And as consumers reject higher prices and start retrenching, well, that demand story is back in play, and we're going to kick this off with China and take it all the way through the U.S. Let's go as we kick off here with China from Bloomberg as China's economy loses steam just as Omicron spreads. China's economy still hurting from a property market slump is now bracing for a hit from partial shutdowns as authorities try once again to halt the spread of COVID-19. And here you can see that momentum has slowed in China's economy, who really needs rapid growth to maintain its high debt loads. And you can see here that China's economic growth likely decelerated further in the fourth quarter. This just isn't stall speed. This is heading back to zero. And boy, if China's economy turns negative, boy, that means the global economy is coming off the rails. And Beijing's hardline approach to stamping out the coronavirus cases through lockdowns and quarantines is curbing consumer spending and disrupting some production and shipping operations. Well, we talked about that last week. It's more than just disrupting some, disrupting a lot of shipping operations. Goldman Sachs economists have already cut this year's growth forecast for China to 4.3% due to the increased difficulty of containing the highly contagious new variant. Any easing, of course, what this has brought up is the whole notion that China's central bank is going to go back to the easing side of the story. And well, that's got investors betting the Fed is going to have a quick reversal. And don't bet on that too heavy, because the Fed's going into inflation fighting mode. They're not coming out until it goes down. But China might, as any easing would put China at odds with major economies like the U.S., which is preparing to hike interest rates. And China recent data showed a notable slowdown in factory gate and consumer inflation, adding to calls for rate cuts. And then we head over to Germany, as we see here from the Wall Street Journal that a German slowdown says global warning signs on supply chains in China. A bellwether of global growth, the German economy slowed sharply at the end of 2021. The softness in Germany, which represents close to one-third of the Eurozone's output, is weighing on the continent's recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. In contrast with muscular growth in the U.S. at the end of the last year, all due to fiscal stimulus, according to the estimates by the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. For 2021 as a whole, German GDP grew by about 2.7% year over year, leaving it 2% below its 2019 level. And there you see it again, slowing growth. And this story is not going to stop at the end of this quarter. It's going to be a big story through the year of 2022. Let's keep going as that compares with estimated growth for 5% for the wider Eurozone and 5.8% for the U.S. last year, the agency said. And I'll say expect those both numbers to continue to slow. As economic activity has slowed, German businesses are putting more workers back on furlough. Perhaps a story coming to U.S. factories soon as well. The number of furloughed workers in Germany increased to 879,000 in December, or a whopping 2.6% of the workforce, up from 712,000 the previous month. Wow, that's incredible. And now let's head over to the U.S., where Omicron and inflation drive down the U.S. growth outlook. This headline from Wall Street Journal, as forecasters also revise up expected inflation and number of Federal Reserve rate increases. Wow. The combination of higher inflation, supply chain constraints, and the fast-spreading Omicron variant caused economists to trim their forecast for growth to 3.3% for the current year as a whole, which overall would be normally pretty good, but coming off from our highs, not so much. Based on the change in inflation-adjusted gross domestic product in the fourth quarter of 2022 from a year earlier, from 3.6% in October. Last year, output rose 5.2%, economists estimate. The economy faces a delicate balancing act this winter, economists say, as a rapid spread of the Omicron variant threatens to dent consumer spending and exacerbate labor and supply chain shortages as workers call out sick. Well, as we've just been discussing, this is also a demand issue. And wait till we get to that part of today's story, because it's coming. But hang tight, because meanwhile, the Federal Reserve is under pressure from businesses and consumers to tame inflation. And at the end of this month, well, we're going to find out a lot more about what the Fed plans, which recently hit its fastest pace in nearly four decades. Inflation, yes, seems out of control. and spiraling inflation could force the central bank to aggressively raise short-term interest rates, risking a recession. Of course, we're going to hear that story more and more and more. And if you're worried about how your portfolio will handle a recession, well, you shouldn't. Check out Portfolio Shield. You'll be glad you did. All right, let's get back to the story, because the Fed cut rates to near zero and started buying bonds to lower long-term rates in 2020 as the coronavirus pandemic hit the U.S. economy, triggering financial market volatility and a deep short recession. Quote, this is the first time the Fed has chased inflation in decades, according to Diane Swonk, the chief economist at Grant Thornton. The largest risk is the Fed could panic and overshoot by raising rates more quickly than the current level of inflation warrants, she said. Well, that is absolutely possible. And now we're going to go and see how the U.S. consumer is behaving and why this demand story is going to be the real story for 2022 as demand evaporates. Check this out. As the University of Michigan sentiment slides in January, as inflation expectations hit 10-year highs. And what I love, this is one of my favorite statistics that comes out twice a month, or economic data points. There's a preliminary and then there's the final. And while we're looking at the final data point right now, and what you see here is in blue, the University of Michigan consumer sentiment, consumers' overall view of the economy is worse than it was at the worst point in the pandemic. You should keep that in mind. Now look at the current conditions. They're just slightly below as the worst point in the pandemic. So consumers see the economy right now is worse than it was back in March of 2020. And how about the red line? Well, that is consumer expectations. That's future, how they're looking out. And well, that too is just slightly worse than it was, of course, back in following March of 2020, when the outlook in the economy was terrible. So consumers are telling you they're not optimistic at all. And that starts to build into your demand story, because here you can see the University of Michigan also surveys buying conditions. Now, notably, buying conditions for homes here in blue went higher, but look at cars. Vehicles are so low in terms of buying conditions that you can see the car sale story, which has been one of there isn't a lot of supply to meet all this demand. Well, the University of Michigan survey is telling you there isn't a lot of demand there, even if there were cars to sell. And how about large durable goods? These are things like washers, dryers, refrigerators. Well, only moderately a slight move higher, but overall extremely depressed levels as consumers say no to higher prices. What else do we see from the University of Michigan is expected change in prices or inflation expectations. In red is over the next year, so they're expecting still inflation to run hot. Of course, these, you'll see in a moment that consumers often get this wrong, and you see in blue over the next 5 to 10 years, they're not convinced that inflation holds. They think it's a short-term story, while all the central bankers don't. But I pulled this chart from the Federal Reserve database, and what do you see here? The University of Michigan inflation expectations in blue and the market yield on 10-year Treasury securities in red. And everyone thinks that as inflation expectations rise, well, that means the interest rates must too. But I want to show you that these peaks actually will tell you where yields are going to soon reverse. And here you can see in the early 90s recession, inflation expectations shot up. Rates didn't really make new all-time highs, didn't even get close to new all-time highs at that point, and then sharply reversed along with inflation expectations and went lower. Here you can see again about 2006, we see inflation expectations rising, pushed a little upward pressure on yields, and then it went down. And you see here in the great financial crisis, inflation expectations shot up along with crude oil, putting a little upward pressure on yields, getting everyone to believe that now we're going to have a secular rise in interest rates, and they both came crashing down with inflation expectations leading Treasury yields lower. You can see it here again in about 2011 or 12, inflation expectations rise, and they both go crashing down as yields respond just slightly to that increase, and both head lower. And now we have the same story today. Inflation expectations are rising. Everybody thinks yields are going to head higher, but as this peaks and rolls over, guess what's going to happen? They're both going to go lower. And that story continues into the U.S. retail sales as consumers reject the higher prices. We see the retail sales slide both in 10 months on inflation and Omicron. This we talked about last week, this headline from Bloomberg, as a December drop of 1.9%, well worse than projected of 0.1% decline. Well, get ready. It's going to get worse. And U.S. factory output, of course, if you have less demand from consumers, that's going to backflow up to the factory sector. And here Bloomberg says the factory output posted a surprise drop. Well, it shouldn't be a surprise, Bloomberg. If you knew this was a demand story, well, you'd know. On short supplies and labor, as manufacturing output fell 0.3% last month. Well, guess what? As demand and orders go away, these numbers are all going to come down a lot. Capacity utilization worsened, which is a good barometer of future inflation, is telling you the factories aren't in big demand. And even the Target CEO sees fewer store trips as shoppers confront inflation. And here he says some of the historical ways consumers react to inflation will play out again in 2022. Cornwell said, you'll drive fewer miles, you'll consolidate the number of times and locations where you shop, you'll probably spend a little more eating at home versus your favorite restaurant, and you might make some trade-offs between a national brand and your own brand. And for Target, well, that's not a great story for them, but they're telling you what they're seeing. The CEO is telling you what he's seeing right now, what he's talking about. Is a global recession is coming. I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for being fans. Thanks for watching. We'll see you soon. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide investor advice. It's not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by selling security, financial instrument, or participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.